Welcome to the Meat and Poultry Podcast. This podcast is your online portal to hear from experts in the industry about the latest news, trends, technologies, and people in the world of meat and poultry processing.
For the Meat Poultry Podcast, I'm Ryan McCarthy, Digital Media Editor. Volpe Foods is celebrating its 120th anniversary in 2022. This specialty meat producer remains a staple of the Hill neighborhood in St. Louis, but has grown tremendously in the last few decades. The company now has five production facilities to manufacture their Italian cured meats using time and experience. For this episode of the Meat and Poultry Podcast, we talk with Lorenza Pacetti, the third generation CEO of Volpe. She talks about how the company continues to stick to its roots while also adapting to the 120-year time span. Lorenza takes us through some of the processes Volpe uses to stand out in the specialty meat area, along with some company history. She also explains the advantages of being located in the middle of the country when the business has grown into national distribution. Lorenza then tells us what it means to still have the retail store that dates back to the early 1900s. Later in our conversation, Lorenza also emphasized that Volpe embraces new technology in its plants that help with package waste management and food safety. We hope you enjoy this conversation with Lorenza Pacetti.
I wanted to start out discussing Volpe's history in specialty meats and kind of how that's guided what you guys do today.
Okay. Well, the business has been around for a long time. It's 120 years old this year. It was started by my great uncle, immigrated from Italy at the age of 21 in search of a better life than what was going on in Italy. So he had recently graduated from Salumi School over there and knew some people that lived in St. Louis. And St. Louis at the time was bustling agricultural area. They had a big stockyard. And so he was excited to be surrounded by very fresh, very good raw materials. So he set out to make sausage out of a friend's kitchen. And then that led to salami, and the salami led to all the other specialty meat products that are Italian in origin. So then he passed away in the 50s, and my dad came over at the age of 14 in the 30s to learn, apprentice from him, and to eventually take over the business. So he was stuck here because of World War II for about 10 years before he was able to go back for the first time. He went back, met my mother, and they wrote to each other, and then soon after they were married. They had four girls, and I am the third out of four girls. And I joined the business in the 80s, which sounds like a long time ago, doesn't it? It's because it is a long time ago. I was a kid. And I learned the business from him and picked up a couple of things at school on how to run a business, and eventually took over as president in 2000.
You talked about the 120 years. For you guys at Volpe, what has kind of stayed the same over that 120 years, and what you've obviously probably had to make quite a few changes too, but kind of tell me what you guys have had to keep the same a lot of the times in order to keep your business going the 120 years.
Well, I mean, the recipes were great, so we didn't want to mess with the recipes. And the whole premise behind the, you know, high quality U.S. pork being all fresh meat that we use is still something that we hold true today. You want me to go into how we've changed it also?
Okay. Sure.
So, he was a big proponent of using the best ingredients, and so was my dad, and continuously improving the process. So the things that we didn't change much on the recipe side of things, because they were tried and true. We did make a little bit stricter our requirements for suppliers on the meat side, because the industry had so many different definitions on whether it's organic or antibiotic free. So we started working with family farmers, I guess about 10 years ago now, and we worked with a lot of academics on what is actually better for the animal and what is going to produce the best meat. And we put together what we call a responsibly raised program, so that our suppliers have to meet certain criteria in order to sell to us. And we did this because we do believe that the better ingredients that you start with will produce a better quality product at the end. Like, you know, my father and my great uncle before me, time cannot be replaced. So we allow a lot of time for flavor development in our products, and really try to stay simple on the process and the ingredients. So that's kind of what we have kept the same.
And for you guys at Volpe, take me through kind of your operations. I know over the last 20 years or so, you've gone to 4 plants, I think 5 now, starting in 2021. Kind of take us through all of that and making sure you guys still stick to your roots while you grow around St. Louis too.
Okay. Well, we have basically 4 plants that we operate out of. The fifth one is what we romantically call Uno, because it's the first building that, so it's 100 and some odd years old, 120 years old. We have a retail store there. Douai is where we produce all the specialty meat products. That would be pancetta, coppa, bresaola, capocollo. Those are the specialty meat products, guanciale. Then at Trey, we make salami, and we make some snack products with salami or prosciutto and mozzarella cheese. At Quattro, we do prosciutto, because prosciutto requires a lot of time, a good banker, and a lot of space as a result. And we added to that building another building just to do conversion, which in our business is slicing. So we added that, and we have several slicing lines and clean rooms. We've modernized it. You know, they're fully graded clean rooms to improve sanitation and to extend the shelf life.
For you, being in St. Louis, how does having a central location in the U.S. help you guys in your business when you've tried to expand nationwide, and you guys have expanded nationwide now?
I think being in St. Louis really helps, because not only are we close to the raw materials, all of our raw materials are sourced within a 300-mile radius of our plants, but it also helps in the distribution, because we can get to either coasts relatively easily, and we can go south. Being in the middle is actually beneficial for us on the transportation side.
And for your ability to source the 300 miles around you, is that specifically Missouri, Illinois, Iowa for the most part? Can you kind of take us through, are those the 3 spots you guys mainly look at?
Yes.
Okay. I read in one of the articles that you were featured in about having horse bone to determine kind of the readiness of the dry cured meats.
Yes. Well,
go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So there's very, you know, people have been making dry cured meats for centuries, right? So the tools of the trade are very few, and they're pretty simple. The horse bone is traditionally used for prosciutto, but it can be used for the specialty meat products also. And it's a great little tool. We still use it today it doesn't hold on to a scent, and you're able to penetrate the ham in five different points and see if, you know, if there's any bad smell, or because this product is aged for 12 months at right. a minute, some 18 months. Our heritage prosciutto, which only uses heritage breeds of pork, is aged for 18 months. And a lot of things can happen in 18 months if not controlled correctly.
I know at Volpe now you guys have dozens of products across multiple lines. What kind of went into expanding your products into so many different areas and having the confidence in that to build it out like that?
I think just growing up with these kind of products in America gave me a different perspective than a lot of our competition that has more of a European view on them. So we started the combination of the salumi and mozzarella back in the 90s as a snack. And that's really taken hold and taken off now. Now you can see salumi and cheese combination products all over the place on Instagram.
Yeah.
Plus charcuterie in general, I think, is really blossomed over the years. People are understanding it more. They understand how versatile it is and how it's a great accompaniment to entertaining. It's a great snack. Can be used as an ingredient. I mean, it's just got so many different applications. It's great. It's good.
I know you focused a long time on retail to grow your business. Has that continued to be the focus over the years and growing in different markets?
Yes, we're predominantly our strength is in the retail side of things, but food service has had a rough couple of years with the pandemic. But food service is a pretty strong and growing area for us as more and more people go out to eat. You're seeing it more on being offered on charcuterie boards. I think it helped that so many restaurateurs were trying their hand at house cured. I think that helped with the popularity of the products. But most of our business, I'd say probably about 63 to 65% of it is retail.
We will be right back after a short break. In the November issue of Meat Poultry Magazine, make sure to check out our cover story of Dr. Jeff Sable and how he's built an educational legacy at Texas A&M. See the plant profile of Old Wisconsin and how it blends new strategies and practices with tried and true traditions. And don't miss the write-up of Godshall's Quality Meats and its recent bacon expansion in Pennsylvania. There's all that and more in the November issue of Meat Poultry.
Lorenz, I wanted you to kind of describe that, you know, that retail shop for me and kind of how nice it is to have that place to take people back in time and kind of see how things have been done for a long time.
Okay. It's a very small shop. It's a very traditional salumiere shop. And when you walk in, you see a lot of meat counter and you see all of our product offerings. We have, it's a nice flashback to what the company was, because we have large pictures of the history of the business in the shop, and everything is sliced to order there. In addition to having some prepackaged product for people to just grab and take away. So it's in the heart of the Italian neighborhood of the Hill, which is where Uno e Due and Tre are located. Quattro, We couldn't expand again in the area, so we had to move out of the city about 40 minutes from St. Louis.
You know, even though you have these touch points for your history, Lorenza, I know you guys make some technology investments as well. Tell me about that and how you determine what's needed for you guys to stay ahead?
Well, and it, you know, we try to stay current on the most recent technology because of food safety predominantly, and for consistency in the product. So those are two big focuses of ours. We want to have very consistent products so that our customers don't get surprised. They can see the brand and recognize that it's going to be a certain quality all the time for them. So clean room technology, like I mentioned before, is something we've invested heavily into. And I believe in it. I believe in food safety. The drying room technology that's out there today versus 50 years ago is like night and day. You can control the temperature, the airflow, the humidity levels in the rooms. And yes, we still do some air exchanges with the outside air. So we haven't completely let go of the tradition, especially with prosciutto.
Right.
No, you gotta, it's because it's aged for so long, you have to do some air exchanges and open the windows type of thing.
Yeah. Lorenzo, I was curious, this is more of just a general question about being in the meat business. For doing this for 20 years and leading this organization, how do you try to mentor other people that are kind of coming up in the industry now? Is that something that you try to strive for when you get the chance?
When I get the chance, yes.
Yeah.
I try to get more women in the business because I think, you know, like it or not, I think we're the ones that spend more time in the grocery stores and, you know, try to always provide for a family, you know, food for the family type of thing. And I think that we bring a unique perspective to products and product offerings. So whenever possible, I try to encourage them to believe in themselves and to go with their guts more because sometimes you can't justify numerically an investment, you know, but you know, it's the right path.
Lorenzo, this is kind of just a general question since you've been around this your whole life, but what's kind of been your favorite meat through the years? Has it changed quite a bit? Like what does it go through for your process?
You know, it does. And it also depends on, you know, what your kids really like. Cause I've noticed that, you know, at certain times I'll think salami is the best. And then at other times I'll think copa is the best. And then I think the prosciutto is the best. I think I've always, had a fondness for prosciutto, but we're always willing to try, you know, different items, whether that is going back in time and trying some, you know, making some products that others don't, like the heritage prosciutto, for instance, or some other combination of snack items. Like we make a rotini that is mozzarella cheese. Wrapped with prosciutto. Pretty simple. My kids loved it when they were little. So we came out with it and it's done really well.
Last question, Lorenzo, for the podcast, and then I might have a few more that won't fit in as well. What's next for Volpe? I mean, you guys have had this 120 years. It's a great milestone to celebrate. What's next for you guys? What are you hoping to lead on into the future?
Well, I think that what's going to be important for us is to maintain our tradition, okay, and to always constantly improve our quality, but also to make a mark in the environment. And what I mean by that is we came out with a 70% less plastic package on the sliced products about a year and a half ago. And as a brand, we thought in our way, we could help with the environment because if you go into a deli, you see a lot of plastic and that's just, it's not good for the world. So we took a stand and next year that paper-based film will also be recyclable. So it's a progression. We didn't change our products, but we changed some of the packaging around them. So I think that making it more consumer friendly, making it more world friendly, is a big focus for us. Just like making the meat more sustainable was.
One more question I had, Lorenzo, when I was thinking about this is, I know that you guys are into the fourth generation now. What has it meant having more of your family involved now in this fourth generation coming?
Well, I really like having my family involved, but I'm the mom. They may feel differently about it. I think it's important because there's a legacy there. And I know that I don't necessarily view the company as my own. I think that I just had certain amount of time with the company as the steward of this time period. And I hope that they feel the same way, that the company can keep going for another 100 years.
Make sure to check out the latest stories from the monthly print edition and online at meatpoultry.com. Also follow us on social media at Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, all by searching at Meat Poultry. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a rating and a review. It really helps us. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.